scripture this morning is taken from the book of Exodus. I think a lot of people will find this very familiar. Chapter 20 and verse 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. May the Lord add a blessing to this reading this morning. The title of this message is called The Reset Button. And you know, I think in the last couple of months, I've had the privilege of speaking in several different churches. It seems like it's come up an awful lot. And I don't know how preachers do this every single week. Come up with a message every week. I decided to take a shortcut, and I thought I would look at the Ten Commandments. And so I'm on number 4. And you know, I've said before, I think the Ten Commandments are like a white picket fence that protects us from what's outside. So this is the fourth slat. And we're going to be looking at this commandment this morning. But before we open up the Word, let's say a prayer. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for giving us this day. And as we come to you now, as we open your Word, I ask that you give us eyes to see what you would have us see. Let us have ears to hear the message coming from you and a heart to respond to it. I pray that there will be so much relevancy in what we hear that we can take it right into our lives and be blessed with it because of that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do you ever get tired just thinking about what you've got to do? We do this in our family, in our house, usually just like 10 minutes after sunset on Saturday evening. It's like, okay, what are we going to do tomorrow? You know, I'm already looking at the things I have to do. I have to water the trees. I have to, you know, move some of the topsoil that was moved out of the way. Our stack of firewood got knocked down. I've got to replace that. Then we have to go shopping. We have to get some food. You know, things go on and on, and that's just Sunday. You know, and then Sunday night, often I'll sit there, I'll be laying in bed thinking, okay, what do I have to do tomorrow? You know, and it goes on and on. Well, today we're going to be looking at what God says about taking a day off, about hitting that reset button. The fourth commandment is all about taking time off, restoring, refreshing, and connecting with others, especially with God. And I know this is a kind of tough audience for this particular message. There's people here that have been Sabbath keepers longer than I have, who accepted the message much earlier than I did. Coming up with something new, I think, is sometimes hard. But I think there is something here, and I ask you to stick with me for a little bit. You know, the first commandment is all about who to worship. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the house, out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The second commandment is about how to worship. You shall not make any graven image or worship any likeness that is in heaven or that is on earth below. And then the third commandment is also about who to worship. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now the fourth commandment comes along. It's also about how we worship, what we do on the worship day. But our focus is going to be a little bit on the word rest in that scripture this morning. And this is a very Christ-like value that's in the Bible. In Matthew 11:28, very familiar, Jesus is talking to people and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you." This can be interactive. It's okay. "I will give you rest," right? Jesus is committing to give us rest when we need it the most, when the trials are tough, when the burdens are heavy. But it's not a new concept that Jesus gives. In fact, God crafted this idea way back at the Garden of Eden on the seventh day, after he had finished all his work, after he finished all the creation, all that is in the universe, all the animals, and us. He rested. Now, traditionally, when we look at the Ten Commandments, we sort of separate them into two parts, right? There's the first four, and they deal with our relationship with God. The second six really deal with our relationship with other people. So why is the fourth commandment in that first set? If you look at it again, it says certainly says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but it's the rest of it is all about what we should be doing. You know, 6 days shall you labor and do all thy work, but the seventh you shouldn't. And then you should rest. It seems like the fourth commandment is also more about us than God. But when you dig a little bit deeper and you realize it's about worship, it is all about our relationship with God. We're going to look at this morning and try to uncover a little bit about where is God in this commandment. Now, I'm excited to be studying the fourth commandment. I'm sure there's some of you here that are excited as well. The actions that we're told to do in this commandment, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, and rest. Now, I'm sure some of you have been waiting for a long time for a sermon that instructed you that you need more naps in your life. You know, maybe you've been waiting for someone to preach from God's Word that sleeping in on Sabbath is okay. And for now, perhaps even now you're hoping that this goes rather quickly so we could have a nice potluck and then obey God more and have another rest. You know, there's some people that when they look at this particular scripture, that's what they see. And certainly there's an aspect of physical rest in this scripture. But it's much deeper than that. If that's all you take out of this commandment, that's a shallow understanding. And so we're going to open this up a little bit today. So stick with me because I hope we have something here that might be new to some Adventists. Now I think we all realize that the Sabbath command is a pretty serious matter to God. If God was only concerned about your rest, would he withhold food from some people? Now we're in Exodus 20, but just go back a few chapters, Exodus 16, he has the miracle of manna for the people of Israel. Think back on this. He gave them manna in a miracle every day. Is that right? No. Almost every day, right? On the seventh day, there's no manna. He withholds it. He's trying to teach the people of Israel something that they have forgotten, how sacred that day is. In Exodus 16, verse 26 and 27, it says, 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that when there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, they found none. I don't know about you, but if I miss a meal, Frank, this is going to be a trial. If I miss a meal, it's a serious issue. But, you know, even more serious than missing a meal, is this message from God. If you go further to the right in Exodus chapter 31, verses 14 and 15, it says, ye shall keep the Sabbath day therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defile it shall be surely put to death. For whoso doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy unto the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wow. God is saying, keep the Sabbath or die. That sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? Now, I believe that we have a loving Heavenly Father. And if he struck me down every time I sinned, I broke one of the Ten Commandments, I wouldn't be here. And I'm pretty sure this whole church would be empty as well. Praise God that He is forgiving. He is long-suffering, or else we would not be here. But this scripture that I just read does or should get our attention about how serious God thinks about the Sabbath, how important it is to Him. So we have to ask ourselves, why is it so important? Is it just so that we can get more rest? Or is there another reason? On the surface, this commandment looks pretty simple to understand. Stop working on the Sabbath, the final day of the week. Don't do any work, yourself, your kids, your servants, the people you pay to do other work, people that are not in your immediate family that might be staying with you. You just can't pawn off work on them because they might not be part of your family. Just don't do that. If you have livestock, you can't have them work. I mean, it sounds pretty simple, right? I mean, it's just don't do any work. But there's more to it than just an absence of work. We need to ask ourselves, why did God give us this command to remember the Sabbath? And what was God trying to accomplish in the lives of the people of Israel and in our lives today with this commandment? Well, in preparing for this message, I came across at least four purposes that the Sabbath command was intended to bring about. I'm sure that God has many more, but I'm gonna share these four with you. First of all, as a day of rest, it's to set a people, His people, apart. If you read in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 22 through 26, three times in that little set of scripture, God talks about having a separate people. In verse 24, it says, I have said unto you, you shall inherit the land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Later in verse 26, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye shall be mine. See, God had a special purpose in mind for the people of Israel, and we talked about it a little bit in the Sabbath school this morning. There is a special purpose for the people of Israel to introduce God to the rest of the world first. Secondly, God knew that the Savior of the world would be coming through these people, through Abraham and David's line. So He wanted Israel to stand out from other nations and be a separate people. Why? Obviously, it would attract other people. It would bring other people to God Himself. Can you imagine how distinctive it was way back then for the people of Israel every 7 days to stop what they were doing? No more work, no 24/7. They're resting one day in God. Think about it today, how impactful it is. Can anyone name a company that is always closed on one day of the weekend? We're going with Chick-fil-A. They missed the Sabbath by one day, but think of the attention they get by saying, we are closing on one day because we want our people to worship. Think of all the attention they get. And that's a small little business. Imagine if the entire nation, an entire city, think of everybody in Denver, and think of what if one day, one Sabbath, everybody said, we're not going to go out. We're not going to do anything. We're going to worship the Lord today. How impactful would that be for the rest of the country and the world? But what about us? Has anyone ever asked you why you go to church on Saturday? This has happened to me. This actually happened to me about 2 weeks ago. I was sitting down with one of my managers, and we were looking at the schedule of work. And she said, oh, you're always off Friday afternoon and Saturday. Why is that? I said, well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. She goes, oh, you don't have to say anything more. I know exactly what that means. And we actually had a little chat about what that meant. It was great. But that is such an opportunity to share God if somebody asks you, why are you here on a Saturday afternoon instead of watching college football? Secondly, a second purpose for the day of rest. It's a day of rest designed to pattern our lives around the life giver. Exodus 20, verse 11, part of the scripture we read earlier, it says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now, do you think God needed to rest on the seventh day? I'm pretty sure he did not. Why did he do that, though? He did that for us as an example of how he wanted us to act. He wanted that benefit to come to us every week. And you know, maybe it's because he knows us a little bit better than ourselves, than we know ourselves. I know personally, I'm a bit of a workaholic. I know when I first became Adventist, I thought, oh, I have to give up the entire Saturday. Everything I could do around the house, or I could get online and work more for the company I was working with. And I can't do that. I mean, I'm pretty driven. I have a lot, I work a lot. Thank God we have the Sabbath. A day when we could actually stop and rest and relax. You know, I know John runs a lot. I've done a few triathlons. In my training for this, I was astounded to know that almost all athletic trainers recommend one day off to have your body recuperate. One day off a week. I thought, God had that figured out a long time ago, way back. But we need to slow down periodically also so that we can hear that still small voice. You know, in 1 Kings, God is talking directly to Elijah, and he says, "And he said, go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passes by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." You know, we have so much going on around us. You know, there's so much going on in our country today. There's protests. We're approaching this election, and who knows what's going to happen after the election. We are dealing with this pandemic, and we have for months. We're dealing with fires here, but in other parts of the country, there are even greater fires. There's hurricanes that are putting people out of their homes. There's just a lot going on. And God is asking us to slow down one day a week to meet with him and talk with him. Mentally, we need to slow down. And physically, we need to slow down. And certainly spiritually, we need to slow down and spend time with him. You know, in Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2, most people know this. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Has God ever made you lie down? I pray to God he doesn't. Because some of us are driven so much that maybe sometime God has to get our attention. A third purpose for the Sabbath, it's a day of rest to delight in the Lord. You know, it's not just a day for extra naps or extra sleep, but it's a day to commune with God. The rest is not just a sleepy time. What does the commandment say in verse 20 or in verse 8 of chapter 20? It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Not just to rest, but to keep it holy. This is why we're here today, so that we can talk to God as a group, as a family, as a church family, to talk with him. Now, many people use this commandment about rest to justify a lot of things. Attending or watching sporting events, oh, that's a rest for me because the rest of the week I work so hard. Or maybe spending time reading something, maybe not pertaining to God or religion. But that's a rest because I don't have any other time to do it. And then on the other hand, there are extremists, there are legalists, who make up incredible rules on what can and cannot be done on the Sabbath. Some people take advantage of the Sabbath, and some people put so many rules on it that it's hard to keep the Sabbath. The Jews at the time of Jesus had over 1,500 things you could not do on the Sabbath. I don't know if I could think of 1,500 things. You could not rescue a drowning person on the Sabbath day. That was considered work. You could only untie a knot. Think of everybody who has shoes. You could only untie a knot if you could do it with one hand. Okay? Of course, we all know about the Sabbath day journey. Sabbath day's journey is between 1,000 and 2,000 steps. Or it's just about 3/4 of a mile. I don't think you could walk from here to the front gate and back in less than 3/4 of a mile. I don't know how far it is. Daryl probably knows really well. If an ox fell in a ditch, you could pull him out, but if a man fell in a ditch, he couldn't pull himself out. All these rules, these, you know, extreme rules that were put on it to say what you could and could not do. But what is the focus? What is the main reason for the Sabbath? The focus should be on a relationship with God. And how do we keep it holy? By having Him foremost in everything we do. It's not bad to go for a hike. It's not bad to read. But what are you reading? Is it the Bible? Is it a book about God? Is it the Bible stories? For singing, we've heard some beautiful music this morning. Lifting up God. Fellowshipping. Afterwards, we're going to have potluck. Fellowshipping is good, but we need to keep God our focus. And of course, going out hiking, having God as the focus, as our creator, and looking at His creation. We have a whole day, an opportunity for a whole day to recognize and worship Him for what He's done in our lives, in and around us today. Colossians 1:17 says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." All things consist. If He wasn't holding everything together, everything would stop. We would stop. How many of you right now can control your heartbeats? God can do it. And if He stops, it would stop. The Sabbath is not just about an absence of work, but there must be the presence of worship during the day. This is what makes the Sabbath day holy. Finally, the fourth thing, it's a day of rest pointing to a greater day of rest. In Colossians again 2:16 and 17, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." I mentioned when I first became an Adventist, I really wasn't thrilled about the Sabbath. You know, it's like there's so much I could get done. But when I realized the blessing that came every week from just stopping, you know, stopping when I shut my computer down Friday afternoon, and I don't open it up until Saturday evening, I go through a whole day without worrying about the problems at work, about any other problems. That is such a blessing. And yet, this is just a shadow of the blessings that are to come when Jesus comes back and we all have a Sabbath with Him. Now, I'm going to look at this one more direction. This is from a slightly different perspective. And I wish I could take credit for this, but I saw this in a sermon from Ivor Myers. And as you know, we've been looking at the commandment in Exodus, but also in Deuteronomy, Moses recaps a lot of the laws. Deuteronomy actually means second telling, and Moses is about to die, And he gathers around the people of Israel and he starts giving them what he considers most important. And that's basically the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, in chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, he mentions the Sabbath commandment. He goes through all the commandments, but in 12 through 15, and it's very similar to the one that we read in Exodus. And if you have your Bibles, either go to Deuteronomy 5:12 and think about Exodus, or go to Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, and I'm going to read the Deuteronomy version. It says, "Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee." And the next part is identical to the one in Exodus. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. Then it changes a little bit. It says, that thy manservant and maidservant might rest as well as thou. In Deuteronomy, we get this beautiful promise that the Sabbath is also for people who maybe are not like us, our servants, people who maybe don't understand the way we understand, but they may get the rest as well as we do. What a promise that God gives us there. And then going on in verse 15, it says, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out of thence with a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." Now, what was the land of Egypt? What did it represent in the Bible? I'm sorry? Sin. There's two things, really. One is either a place of refuge, and if you remember the story of Jesus when he was first born, the angel told Mary and Joseph to go to Egypt for the first couple of years. It was a place of refuge, but for the most part, it was considered sin. And if you read this scripture, "And remember thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt." How much freedom do servants have? They have freedom to go where they want? Eat what they want? No, they are controlled completely by their masters, right? If we are in sin, who's our master? Satan. If you go forward in this scripture, "The Lord thy God brought thee out of thence with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm." In John 8:34 through 36, Jesus answered them. He was talking to the scribes and Pharisees. He says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth a sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The Lord with a mighty hand brought us out of the sin. The Sabbath command is not just about recognizing creation and creator. It's also a memorial of salvation. It's to remind us who our Savior is. Imagine that. Jesus, our creator, our redeemer, and our Savior. All encapsulated in this commandment. Isaiah 20, verse 25, verse 9, "And it shall be said unto that day, Lord, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." The Lord wants to give us salvation. He wants to give us that gift. And he's ready to bring us out of Egypt, out of the land of sin, with his mighty hand. So what difference does it make if we know all this, though? As I said, when I first became Adventist, I knew the Sabbath was true. You know, I could read the Bible, and I made up my mind, yes, I'm going to church on Saturdays because that's what the Bible said, and I believe it. But I really hadn't accepted the gift of the Sabbath day. I was going through the motions, and I was not doing anything on the Sabbath day, but I wasn't getting the blessing that comes from the Sabbath day. Mark 2:27, of course, says, "And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." It's a gift that God set up way back in the Garden of Eden, and he gave to us. So how do you apply this into your life? I would encourage you to stop thinking that you have to keep the Sabbath, but that you get to keep the Sabbath. Welcome it every week as a time when you can slow down, you can stop, you can not worry about work for one day, and you can spend that day worshiping God and talking with him and praising him. It's for our rest. It does set us apart. It invites us to talk to others about him. And it's a memorial of both creation and salvation. You know, the thing with the fourth commandment, it's like all the other commandments, and that we have all, every one of us, broken it at some time. Maybe you just went through the Sabbath like I was doing. Maybe you didn't remember to keep the Sabbath. Maybe you did something else on the Sabbath and you ignored God all through that day. But all of us have at one time done something. But praise God, he says he is still there, still waiting to bring us out of Egypt with his stretched out arm. Think about that. God is reaching out to us to pull us out of sin. We have all broken the commandment, but we have a God that has promised to be there and pull us through it. He has promised a blessing for the Sabbath. Isaiah 56 verse 2, it says, "Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and keeping his hand from doing any evil." Today, we are on the Sabbath day. And I just pray that all of us get a blessing from it today as we commune with God, as we talk to him, as we pray to him, as we fellowship with other believers. This is the gift that he's given us. And you know, we don't know if we're going to be here for next Sabbath. Take advantage of this one now. And then next Sabbath, take advantage of that.